Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Jones in the gun, standing on the shield. Barkley to his left. Shepard's in the slot. Slayton, who scored the touchdown at wide right. Chase Young standing up, takes on Andrew Thomas. Jones steps up before he's hit by Matt Ioannidis. Wide open at the goal line was Slayton, who dropped it. It hit him in the hands. There wasn't anybody within 15 yards of him. It's a flat drop.
Kevin's take. The good, the bad, the ugly from yesterday's Washington football team game. Here's Kevin.
Would have loved to have heard what D. Hall said about that. That was clearly either a blown coverage altogether, because Jackson clearly thought he had help on that play. That would have been a 10-point lead, boys and girls, in the fourth quarter and starting to get late into the fourth quarter. And so these things happen in NFL seasons, and you take them. That game, as the legend in this town, one Ken Beatrice, would have said after a game, more games are lost than won. And yeah, there was a lot of the Giants blowing it last night, but that's okay. Washington took advantage of it, and Washington made an S-load of plays last night. But yeah, that was the drive that ended with a field goal that gave them a 26-20 lead. They had some crucial penalties at the end of that drive, too. All right, let's get to the list of things that I did not like from the game. The list of things that I liked, the game itself was a thriller. I mean, an offensive thriller last night. So much back and forth. Loved it. Had even its poor play. Was dramatic. Taylor Heinicke was on the list of things that I liked last night. He and Terry McLaurin were the stars of Washington's win. All of the pass catchers had big moments last night. Gibson was good. John Allen was good in the game. And that turning point early in the game I thought was crucial. They were on the verge of going down 10-0, maybe 14-0 when Joe Judge called a timeout with still 2 seconds left on the play clock. With Daniel Jones seemingly in control, about to snap it. All right, the list of things I didn't like. For the second consecutive game, I'm going to start with the defense. It was another disappointing defensive game for a defense that was billed as something special prior to this year starting. It's been anything but, obviously, in the first two games. There have been a few standout performances worth acknowledging, like John Allen last night, but through two games, there is reason to believe that the defense is not going to take that next jump this year and be a great defense. It wasn't a great defense last year. It was an improved defense. It was at times a good defense. It was not where their ranking ended, and it wasn't what a lot of people thought it was. What's really disappointing at times has been the front four. They don't generate enough pressure. And you can look at four sacks last night and suggest that it wasn't that bad. But the Giant offensive line is their weakness. It's not very good to begin with. And when their center, when you had the two offensive linemen out last night, the second going out, Nick Gates with the broken leg, they were down two starters. Their offensive line isn't very good. So the defense hardly feasted on a banged-up subpar Giant offensive line. Now, I thought there was a stretch of game there from The shaky beginning where they're down 7-0 and the Giants are about to go up two scores before the penalty and the sack. And that was a big sack, don't get me wrong. I thought that they really got it together and started to show its teeth, the defense, in that second quarter in particular. But Daniel Jones had too much time on big plays, on passing plays. I'm not talking about first down play action, which they had a lot of. And they certainly had to respect Jones as a runner. That was a big part of it. You know, they threw play action through three different ways. Play action, normal, you know, run action, where you stick it in the running back's gut and then you, on a first and 10, suck the defense up on play action and throw. They had normal, what I would call normal traditional play action. There was a lot of RPO in that game with Daniel Jones making the decision as to whether or not to pull it or throw it. They actually got called for on one of them on a completion for an ineligible receiver downfield. It's a one-yard rule in the NFL on linemen being downfield on those RPOs. That's why college RPOs are so much more successful and so much more a part of the game. The rule in college is 3 yards for an offensive lineman before they are ineligible as receivers downfield. You also had with Daniel Jones, because he's so effective as a read option quarterback, keeping it, and man, Sweat, he was playing Sweat on that read option where he kept it multiple times, scored on that one play that got called back for that very questionable holding. But they also generated a ton of play action off their read option action. This was something years ago in 2012 with RG3 when people said, oh man, they're going to get him killed. They're going to get him killed. And I remember having a conversation with Mike Shanahan, and he said, no, actually the read option stuff keeps him safer. It's a safer pocket because when he sticks it in Alfred Morris's gut and sucks the defense up, they don't know if he's going to run it or if Morris has it. And then we threw that drift pattern over and over again to Pierre and Deshaun, or to Pierre all season long that year, not Deshaun. To Pierre. On many of the incompletions, there were penalties on the defense. You know, a few of them were blatant, like Kendall Fuller tackling Shepard on a 3rd and 13. Landon Collins grabbing Kyle Rudolph on a 3rd and 7. I'm missing a few, too. They really hurt themselves with 3rd down and just defensive penalties all the way around. And let's face it, this is another game in which the opponent that they faced should have had more points than 29. The Chargers clearly should have had more than 20, and the Giants very easily could have put up more than 29. I personally didn't think it was a hold on the Daniel Jones read option long touchdown run. If it was, it was truly ticky-tack. Pereira did not think it was a hold. The Giants hurt themselves with penalties on offense, and some of those are defensive force, some of the false starts. The crowd got into it. You know, the crowd was whatever it was last night. A lot of Giant fans saw the pictures, got the calls and texts from various people. Lots of Giants fans there, but it certainly seemed loud on 3rd downs, and maybe it was impactful to Jones. It was not a good night for the defense, period. It just was not a good night for the defense. This is our expectation for the defense being really good to great to maybe elite and maybe top 2 or 3 in the league. Through 2 weeks, there are no indications of that. None. And the player with the most potential, the player that gets talked about the most, last year's Defensive Rookie of the Year, has had 2 subpar games to start the season. Period. No one in their right mind is going to say that Chase Young has been the Chase Young that we saw in moments last year. He's been more the Chase Young that we saw in the playoff game against Tampa. Now, they're game planning for him. The Chargers did. The Giants did. He also seems to me to be, We had Ron Rivera on the show. We've had him on the show for two consecutive weeks, and he has said, and he continues to harp on, you got to play the scheme. You've got to do your job. You've got to play within the scheme and do what we are coaching you to do. Everything leads or sets up something else. And I thought of that when Kendall Fuller, on the first play of the fourth quarter, one of the first two or three plays of the first quarter, I think it was the first play of the fourth quarter. And it was a situation in which the Giants had the ball. They were driving early in the fourth quarter. And I want to say that it was a second and five, something like that, in Washington territory. I don't know. I in my notes, I don't have it clear here. I think maybe it was at the Washington 40-yard line. That may have been it. Anyway, Kendall Fuller comes on a corner, a slot corner blitz. Del Rio finally got sick of watching Daniel Jones pick him apart and said, we got to generate some pass rush. And he sent Kendall Fuller. And Fuller's coming off Chase Young's edge. Now, when you see a slot corner blitz, typically, and someone could certainly correct me on this, but typically that outside defensive end is supposed to take that left tackle with him inside. That's his responsibility, to suck the left tackle inside to leave a perfect blitz lane, point A to point B for the corner for the slot corner blitz. Watch that play. Chase Young gets outside and nearly trips Kendall Fuller. Now, Fuller got there, and the Giants couldn't block it up, even though I think Chase Young probably, I don't know this for a fact. I'm guessing here. But when you see those surprise late play clock slot corner or corner blitzes, but especially the slot corner blitzes, those DNs typically have a responsibility of sucking that left tackle if that blitz is coming off the right side, inside. The several coaches, high school coaches, that listen to the show, text me if I'm wrong about that. Chase Young gets outside the left tackle and nearly trips Kendall Fuller on his way to Daniel Jones. He didn't, and Fuller got there, and it was a big play. Huge play. You know, it gets them out of that situation where, it's 20-17 at the time. So, again, they're driving again on Washington's defense. And they got derailed with that sack. Jones came back with two really good plays, a run and the throw. He hit Galladay for field goal. I think it was Galladay for field, or it may have been Shepard for field goal range on that drive after they were out of it. And then the next drive that they kicked a field goal after a couple of penalties, he scrambled for 11 yards. Washington was playing on that third and 11. They had two third and 11s with the Giants out of field goal range on the Giants' first two fourth quarter drives. And Daniel Jones made situational football plays, high IQ plays. And Washington allowed it. They allowed an underneath throw to, I think, Shepard or Galladay, I forget who it was now, for field goal range for Gano to make it 23-17. And then at 23-20 on a third and long, after a couple of false starts, if you recall, Jones made a really good scramble to get into field goal range for Gano's 55-yarder that made it 26-20. Chase Young had a neutral zone infraction. He had an unnecessary roughness. You want to talk about the unnecessary roughness? By rule, I think they got that right. He's got to make it look a lot more obvious that he's not coming down full weight on the quarterback. And he didn't do that, in my opinion. I thought it was the right call. He's got to be more situationally aware of what he's doing in that spot. He got the pressure on Jones. Ball's out. You cannot land full weight. There was nothing wrong with the hit. It wasn't late. It was the finish to the hit. Yeah. Yeah, shorten the corner for the outside blitzer. Unless the corner is supposed to go in the B gap. Well, it wasn't the B gap. Hold on, here's another. I love the coaches in the area. Coach Sheehan, 100% right. Got to take that left tackle away from that slot corner blitzer. And he didn't. He ran the left tackle almost into him and almost tripped Fuller himself. You know, I'm just going to make this guess right now. I don't know this. But and I'm not saying that it's only Chase Young. Tremendous talent, as we all know. All right, and going to be a great player. Nobody's doubting that. But Rivera's frustration with the defense when he's talking about you got to do your job, you got to play the scheme. Young's one of the guys he's talking about. I'd bet big money on it. Second thing on the list of things I didn't like from the game after the defense is they didn't run the ball enough offensively. You know, I have not been... I've been a Scott Turner supporter slash borderline believer through this first, you know, through last year. I didn't like the game that was called last night. They put it all on Heinicke and McLaurin. And look, McLaurin was open and they were giving that underneath stuff for pitch and catch opportunities all night long. And so you're getting bigger chunk plays. But I would have been more balanced last night. They couldn't stop Antonio Gibson. He averaged 5.3 yards per carry. 13 carries, 69 yards. And I know going into the game, if you watch the game Sunday against the, Denver, even though Denver ended up with a ton of rushing yards, 70 of it came on a play late in the game when the game was over and Melvin Gordon ripped off a 70-yard touchdown run. And I'm not one of those people that says, well, you got to take that one out. No, you don't take that one out. But just for context purposes, the game was over. It was late in the fourth quarter, and Denver was up by two scores already. And that got the average per carry a little bit out of whack. I thought Washington, every time they ran the football, they looked pretty good. And even when Gibson had contact, he was leaning forward for 3, 4, or 5 yards. They had 46 throws, dropbacks in the game, 47 dropbacks in the game, and they had 22 runs. I don't care about balance if the way to move it is through the air, and that's how they did move it. They moved it through the air consistently, but they could have moved it through the on the ground as well last night. I think Scott Turner didn't feed the second best offensive player on their team, Antonio Gibson, nearly enough. The penalties weren't good for a second straight game. 9 of them for 80 yards. And, you know, we talked about the Chase Young neutral zone, the unnecessary roughness. There were two blatant, you know, PIs. One on Fuller, who essentially tackled the receiver. One on Landon Collins, who held Rudolph, both on third and longs. The Giants got some conversions on third and longs, courtesy of penalties. Both teams committed a lot of penalties last night. Again, the game was thrilling. The game had a lot of big plays and a lot of big offensive plays, but there was a lot of mistakes, dramatic mistakes in the game. But there were a lot of penalties in that game. 20 called in total, 11 on the Giants for 81 penalty yards, 9 on Washington for 80. Penalty yards. That's pretty much the list of the things I didn't like, because I've got a couple of things that are on my other list that could have made this list. Dustin Hopkins missing that first field goal, that if Dexter Lawrence doesn't jump, we're in here wondering whether or not Eddie Pinheiro during this mini bye is going to be the kicker against the Bills. Right, Brendan, if he misses that?
I would still replace him, but that's just me.
There's no way he's on the team. They're not replacing him.
They should consider it.
He is now, technically, he's 7 for 8 on the year. He nailed a 50-yarder last night. Wasn't it a 50-yarder, or was it technically, or what did they register that? It looked like a 50-yarder. 49-yarder, they had him. On Graham Gano was spectacular. Hopkins had the 49-yarder. Didn't miss a PAT, hasn't missed a PAT, but he's got a 48-yarder to win the game, and he missed it. And the neutral zone infraction had nothing to do with the missed kick. I didn't even notice it until the replay. But it was an absolute offsides. You know, it was offsides, not neutral zone. Neutral zone would have had the play dead. That was absolutely an offsides. An absolute horrific mistake. The Giants had several of them in the game. And he got one from 43. And that one started to trail a little bit to the right, but then stayed inside that right upright for the game winner. Can you imagine what we're talking about here this morning if that 48-yarder is wide right and they lose 29-27 and they are 0-2? We're in here this morning talking about a defense. We're talking about Taylor Heineke's interception. And we are talking about Dustin Hopkins being replaced. But man, winning covers up all the S, all the smell. There was some smell in that game, but there was much more good in that game for Washington, especially on offense. All right, 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. A couple of other observations about the game, including the decision facing Rivera on that fourth down and three. That's the big one on the list of things that I wanted to add to the conversation. But phone lines now are open. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Our BetQL listener lines are open. I want to know what you thought of the game. Any reaction. You don't have to give me things you like, didn't like. Just give me your overall reaction to a wild Thursday night Washington win. How about this? Inspiration 4's mission commander, Jarrett Isaacman, placed the first ever sports bet from outer space to Las Vegas with BetMGM at MGM Grand. The wagers were the over in last night's New York-Washington game, a futures bet on the Eagles as the 2022 Super Bowl champions. Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using my bonus code, KevinS100, to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on any college game this weekend. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win, no matter what your actual game is. BetMGM's always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code, KevinS100, to win $100 when you bet $1 on any college football game. And if either team in that matchup scores a touchdown, you win. Only at BetMGM. New customer offer. Paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem. 800-522-4700.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Two other quick observations, then we'll get to the phone lines. Nikki Javala from the Washington Post is going to join us this morning as well. Nikki will be with us at 8 a.m. I've got a smell test later on. We'll look at some of the other NFL games. Big NFL weekend coming up. Big college game on Saturday night. I will be there. I don't know if I'm going to the game, but I will be at the tailgate at Penn State for Penn State-Auburn. So two other things that I wanted to mention that I haven't gotten to. The fourth down and three decision was for Ron Rivera. Came with roughly 9 minutes to go at the end of the game. This was when they kicked the field goal to cut the lead to 23-20. That was the drive. They're down 23-17. Early fourth quarter, they've got a nice drive going. Hynes, they got the defensive hold on Bradberry, by the way, which was a good call on Heineke scrambling up the A-gap for a yard on a third and seven that kept the drive alive. And then, you know, he took a deep shot to De'Ami Brown that missed. And then he did a good job, actually, I thought, with a little bit of pressure on third and 10, getting better field goal range. And then they set up a fourth and three at the Giant 19 with about 9 minutes to go, down in the game at the time by six. Look, the fourth down analytics people are going to tell you that is an absolute go-for-it situation. Your win probability goes up. I'm going to tell you that they had been an awful third down team last week, and they weren't a very good third down team at that point this week. Washington finished the game, converting. Let me just see what it was. It was not good again. 4 of 13 on third down, and I think at the time they were 3 for 12 on third down. So context, again, in these decisions really matters. How comfortable is Ron Rivera that they're going to make a 4th and 3? Well, they hadn't converted many third downs in the game. You know, I had no problem with him kicking the field goal in that particular spot, especially considering that, you know, they were in a spot where they had held the Giants to field goals a lot. The problem that you would say is you can't stop the Giants. You're not stopping the Giants. The Giants had gone field goal drive, touchdown drive, field goal drive to start the third quarter. They had ended the first half with a field goal drive. The Giants had 10 possessions last night, scored on 7 of them. It's almost the same situation last week in terms of red zone for the Chargers. The Chargers just didn't finish. The Giants scored on 7 of 10 possessions. Now, one of them was the interception by Heineke. I was okay with the decision to kick the field goal there. If it's 4th and 1, you know, and you feel really comfortable, and I think they're a pretty good 4th and 1 team with McKissick and or Gibson. One of the things I should have pointed out is I guarantee you that Heineke got them in the right play in a lot of big spots last night. I think that touchdown run was a Heineke check to McKissick. I think he had a run throw, a check with me play, and he checked to the right play. And by the way, checked to the right spot to run McKissick. So I was not offended by that decision. Lastly, Joe Judge, who I really feel had a bad night as a head coach, although I think his team in the first two games has shown some promise, and shown some promise with their quarterback, with their third-year quarterback. But after that interception by Heineke, which would have certainly ended a memorable night and could have ended a memorable night, there was 2 minutes and 20 seconds, roughly. Washington had all of its timeouts left. Taylor Heineke had been moving that team. All right. Washington had scored on like 3 or 4 straight possessions in the second half. It was 3, actually. If I'm New York, I am going for the jugular. I am thinking touchdown. I am certainly thinking I need a first down. They hadn't run on first and second down consecutively, it seemed like, all night. They got super conservative in that spot. They ran Barkley for a yard. They came back after Washington called a timeout, ran Barkley for 2 yards. Who gives a crap if you're the Giants in that spot about having Washington burn timeouts? Washington's going to have plenty of time if you don't convert a first down to get into field goal range. They got 3 timeouts and they got the 2-minute warning. That's bad coaching there. Bad decision to get conservative. They did throw it on 3rd and 7 underneath the Shepherd, and it was incomplete. But they had been successful throwing the football. They had been successful running Daniel Jones on read options. And they were handing the ball off to Barkley back-to-back, and they basically burned like 8 seconds of the clock. And Washington not only had a timeout left, but they had the 2-minute warning. Washington was not going to run out of time to get into field goal range without the Giants making a first down. Bad decision by the head coach. I'd be killing Joe Judge this morning if I were in New York doing sports talk radio for that decision. For that decision and also calling that timeout on the third and two early in the game when they had a 7-0 lead. He did not have a good feel for that game. That was a go for the jugular moment. The game was not over on that interception. It may have felt like it in the moment, but it was far from over. There's 2:20 left in the game, and Washington's got three timeouts. And if you kick a field goal here, you're only up two. And a field goal beats you on the other end, and they've been moving the football. No, no, no. You've got to get a first down on that drive. And it's a condensed field. You know, they started at Washington's 20-yard line, 19-yard line. But you've got to get, and you've got to be aggressive. And even if you throw it three times, even if you throw it three times and you're not making them burn their timeouts, that's not as bad as being super conservative in that spot. Cost them, as did the drop, as did a lot of other things. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our BetQL listener lines are open. Your reaction to the 30-29 thriller for Washington to get to 1-1 entering this, you know, 11-day, call it mini bye week before they go to Buffalo. Dean, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Hey, it was a great game, of course. Yeah, I'm glad for the Washington victory. My likes, of course, and I'm just going to follow your format. Of course, I liked, you know, Heineke. I like McLaurin, and I like the O-line for a little bit. Yeah, I like the O-line for a little bit. But what I didn't like, my number one I did not like was Landon Collins. That run by the quarterback for the Giants, that long run, was because he didn't have contain. He lost contain. He lost contain on that, and that's why my man ran up the sideline almost 50-some dang on yards. And then that miss, that drop pass in the end zone, he was supposed to give help to Jackson. That's who Jackson was looking for.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
That was Landon Collins.
Look, we think that Jackson asked for help. It could have been that Jackson assumed incorrectly, too, but go ahead.
No, the defense was designed that way for him to have help. It was his own defense. So he had the other half of the deep half. And so that was the problem. Landon, I don't know what they see in Landon Collins. I don't understand it. But when they took him out of the game, the defense stabilized on the back end. I noticed that. Humphreys, who else I didn't like? Yeah, he had a crucial catch, yes. But my God, when he catches the ball, he falls down. What the heck, man? Did you see how many times when he caught the ball, he would just fall down?
Yeah,
I mean, he could have ramped about maybe 6 or 7 more yards.
We've seen that in the first two games. Turf monster. J.D. McKissic had that run where he tripped on the turf and then got up and actually made the first down without being touched, and somehow the call wasn't overturned on the field. That was a mystery to me.
Then my last one, of course, I don't understand why Cam Sims is not playing. I don't know. Is he in the doghouse? Is he hurt? What is wrong with Cam Sims? And then another is also Fuller. Fuller, he plays a lot of bail technique on his corner position. That's why he's getting beat so much. The guy needs, they need to move him inside to the slot. He cannot play outside. He cannot play outside. And so those are my takes of the game. It was a great game. I'm glad we won. But those things have to be fixed, for real.
Yeah,
they really have to be fixed.
Sims isn't playing because De'Ami Brown's playing all of those snaps. I mean, De'Ami Brown and McLaurin, I've not seen the snap counts, and I'll look for them here. Sometimes they're not out this early. But De'Ami Brown and McLaurin were basically out there the entire night. So Humphreys was out there for most of the night. Humphreys had a big drop on that final drive. That was a well-thrown ball. It was into traffic, but that should have been caught by Humphreys. It definitely should have been caught by Humphreys. You know, the turf tripped up Heineke, too, on that one run where he actually wasn't touched and the ball came out on that one run. It was about the only time all night that he legitimately tried to scramble, and I think there was a penalty on that play. Let's go to Joe. Joe, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm well, Joe.
All right, happy Victory Friday morning. I guess you can call it like that.
You can call it that. That was a memorable win.
Absolutely. All right, what I like and didn't like about it. All right. What I liked was the fact that Taylor Heineke, you know, after that interception, and Ron Rivera mentioned this in his post game, how he basically like got so frustrated that he slammed his helmet down and he was ready to go. Kevin, I'm telling you, in the previous regime, and that head coach shall remain nameless, would have folded up right there, and we would have lost the game. But no, this era with Ron Rivera is different. Taylor Heinicke wanted to respond, and he did by leading us back down the field. So that's why Taylor Heinicke won the game for us. And honestly, I don't know what, and hopefully Ryan Fitzpatrick recovers from his hip injury, but right now with Heinicke, moving forward, he could be our guy. So what I didn't like, and I pressed on this again in the loss to the Chargers, third down for the defense. My God, how many times do we have them in third down situations and we couldn't get off the field, Kevin? I mean, it's going to get worse from here on out. We're going to have to face what? Josh Allen, then Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't get any prettier after this. I mean, the defense has got to work on it, and Jack Del Rio is going to be looking at film, and he's not going to be pleased. So you got to fix that. But right now, I would say both these games have come down to the wire, as they have in Ron Rivera's era. It's going to be a long season, but with this NFC East, Kevin, who knows? But I'm going to go celebrate. Actually, I have to be at work right now, so I'll celebrate after work. Happy victory
thanks
Friday.
For the,
take care.
Thanks for the call. I think that Ron Rivera wouldn't take credit for the resilience in that spot. That's a Taylor Heinicke characteristic. You can see this dude's got baller in him. He's got gamer in him. And, you know, I certainly felt like when the Giants played it conservatively, kicked the field goal, and there's still plenty of time, I had confidence in him. I did. I had legit confidence. And they did face a fourth down right on that final drive. They had the fourth and one, and McKissick, you know, took it in that no huddle. Also, let me give credit to, you know, no panic on that final drive. You know, no early timeouts, because, you know, sometimes coaches start calling timeouts too early in a drive like that. And then all of a sudden you get a big play, and now the other team, they got some timeouts, and now they're going to get the ball back again. There was no panic. They didn't call timeouts until they needed to start calling timeouts at the end of that game. They had plenty of time. They were never going to run out of time in that game. You know, Troy Aikman, I thought, was off last night, man. I thought he was way, way off in a lot of his analysis. And on that final drive, if I recall, it could have been Buck who said this. But he said, man, they are taking their sweet time. And I'm like, yeah, they should. They've got plenty of time. There's no rush here. They need field goal range. There's 2 minutes to go. You know, they've got one timeout left. They're going to be fine here on this final drive. And I thought one of the best throws of the night was the Heinicke throw with 20-whatever seconds left to McLaurin to get that into really good field goal range. It was a low throw that only McLaurin could get on that slant. It was the one where the replay, they went to the booth to see if he actually made the catch. That play ended with 9 seconds to go. They had plenty of time to get up and spike it, you know, after the catch. It was a smart play. I know some people were like, you got to run it and then get up and quickly spike it. If you drop him back, you could get sacked. Yeah, a lot of bad things could happen, but they had trust in Heinicke, and he threw the perfect position throw for that situation in the game where only McLaurin could catch it. And if he doesn't, it's incomplete. If he catches it, they have plenty of time to get up to the line of scrimmage, spike it, and now you've got much better field goal range than where they were. Because I think where they were before that play was like a 54, 55-yarder for Gano. I did ask Rivera yesterday what Gano's range was. I don't know what made me ask him that. I think it's because I was curious as to whether or not he'd considered the 57-yarder on the fourth down the week before. But I also heard somebody mention to me, you know, that Rivera doesn't think Gano's got as strong a leg. And he said 60. Said he was kicking from 60 last week with no wind. I don't know what his range was last night. But that play, that was a really good throw by Heinicke to McLaurin there to get him in range. My point is, I think Ron Rivera would give Taylor Heinicke a lot of the credit for being just a resilient dude in that spot. Chris and Laurel, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? How you doing today?
I'm well, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad. First thing, three quick comments. I'm glad you touched on the running again. I called you last week after the game, and I was like, I was disappointed on, even though when I got the phone, you said they did run a lot, but I expect them to run a lot more. I just think with our running back situation that we could really open this offense up a lot more if we just went to the, you know, tried to run some more. The one thing I will say, the second thing with the positive is you actually saw the change of the culture in this game. Because like I said, you had faith in Heinicke, I did. But some of us back in the day had to back, in the back of our minds, like, we don't do this. We don't come back. After we throw a pick in the fourth quarter, we don't come back on game-winning drives. Redskins don't do that. We lose the game, and we have a terrible loss. And you know what I'm saying? That's been our culture. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's one game. You know what I'm saying?
But came back a ton last year. Last year, they were down in a lot of those games that they ended up winning. You know, they were down in that Pittsburgh game.
The last 2 years, they become that team. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that's a great thing. The third thing is also, man, his decision-making with the ball. That run that he audible to, I was watching the casino, and before he audible, I was like, man, just run it right there over the left side of the center. And sure enough, he audible and called the play, man. It's just refreshing to see somebody under quarterback that can just make the throws that the average quarterback in the NFL makes and the average plays. And when the pocket breaks down, he can actually improvise and get out the pocket and do something good. So, like I said, it wasn't pretty, man, but as a Redskins fan, a Washington football team fan, whatever you want to call us, a win is a win, and we'll take it any way we can get it. Love you, Kevin. Love the show. Y'all have a blessed weekend.
Yeah, appreciate that. By the way, good question from a friend of mine who said, don't you think that was a huge risk to run the ball at the end of the half with McKissick with no timeouts left? Actually, they know, or they should know, most teams know exactly how much time on this they have to rush the field goal team out onto the field. And it's usually in the, I think, 14-second range. And that play ended before there were – I think the snap was with 23 seconds left. So if McKissick gets stopped and it's fourth and goal, you've got a chance to get the field goal team out there. Also, keep in mind, that was a third and one at the Giant 2 or 3 yard line. So they had a chance to get a first down and spike it too. They also may have had two running plays or two plays called, and they were going to go for it on fourth and one in that spot. But that did look like a checked play from Heinicke, a situation where it's a check with me where he's got a throw and he's got a run call, and McKissick basically went in untouched. Let's go to Ian. Ian's on hold. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, I think you nailed it with the Ken Beatrice statement. More games are lost than won. I think that was the big takeaway. My thought is on the defense. I think Chase Young might attend OTAs this year because he is nowhere near the player that I think most people thought he would be. And I think my preseason prediction is 6-11. After watching this game at home, short week for the Giants, I think this is a 5-win team. If this defense is not elite, I don't know how Heinicke is going to lead them against that many good other quarterbacks. And I think this was a game that if you're Washington, you say we found a way to win. If you are being more objective in the analysis, there are multiple points of failure by the Giants, both coaching, I agree with your Joe Judge analysis, and execution, where you are like, we're just not that good. If you want to be optimistic and do the likes, yes, Taylor Heinicke is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I said it at the beginning of the summer, we have three backup quarterbacks. Taylor Heinicke showed some promise there. I'm not going to harp on the interception, that stuff happens. But we can't bank on him starting, the remaining 15 games. His injury history alone.
Fitzpatrick, by the way,
concerning.
There was news on him yesterday that he's not going to require surgery.
I saw that.
Hey, Ian, I got to run. We're up against a hard break, and we've got Nikki Javala from the Washington Post coming up.
No problem.
But the one thing that I would say is that, the issue with the schedule was this defense that many think is elite or great faces a litany of quarterbacks and offensive skill position players that is daunting, at least on paper. What we didn't consider is that the offense would be maybe majorly improved. And so far with Taylor Heinicke, in 4 quarters last night and 2.5 from Sunday, it is a much better offense than it was last year. They're getting many more big plays, many more possessions that don't end in punt. They've got the capability of scoring. And they did so last night against a team that was pretty good defensively, even though Bridgewater had a big game Sunday. I think the Giants will have some good defensive days. So now maybe we should start looking at the schedule ahead and saying, what about the teams we're facing? What are they defensively? Well, Atlanta sucks defensively. You know, you've got some teams that are good. Denver's really good defensively. The Saints are exceptional defensively down the road. But I can't wait to see more of number four. Can't wait to see more of number four. I'm not putting him into Canton by any stretch, as Sabah and others would at this point. But it'd be you'd be really hard-pressed to say that you're really, really concerned about putting Taylor Heinicke out there right now against anybody. It's a major, major improvement from what they had last year right now. I don't know what it is in the grand scheme of things compared to the rest of the league, but it's much better than it was. And yeah, I do think Scott Turner, upon reflection, will regret not running the ball and being a little bit more balanced than he was last night. Nikki Javala from the Washington Post next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.